Hello, Lagos, Nigeria. How are you? My name is Joyce, and I have a huge smile on my face for what's about to happen the next one God-given hour on the sunny side. All right, so I don't intend to be controversial, but, you know, as a curious person, chances are I would ask questions that are not necessarily conventional or maybe necessary but silent. All right, so I have with me today the honor of... So this is what's going to happen, all right? I have with me today two doctors in the studio. And the only reason I wanted two doctors on one show is because I was hoping that in the event that a question is a little too sensitive... The answer to a question is a little too sensitive... hold on. Huh? You can talk.
When it's too sensitive for me, I give it to my boss.
Okay, so, well, yeah, if it's too sensitive for Dr. Fred, we can hand it over to someone else. But here are the rules to the show today. We've established some rules, and my aim and or, say, objective is not necessarily to be controversial. It's to try to extract as much information as is possible. So the doctors are at liberty to choose to answer a question or pass. Now, the necessity of that is because some of the questions that I think I might be asking might not necessarily have medical proof. So these are just, say, my own personal deductions. And, you know, for medical doctors, they work with, you know, proof. They work with what's been established. And sometimes if it's not established, but say a personal bias, they might not yield to it. I think I'm at liberty, being a non-doctor, to air my, you know, my convictions, or say float a question that can come out of my gut feeling. So they can choose to answer the question or pass. Now, they're on the show. Of course, they have medical backgrounds, but I'm hoping that you do not attack them, which is really the essence of why I want them to pass. I don't want you to attack any of the or attack them for any of the questions they choose not to give an answer to, because from my own personal point of view, I think that there is a deeper story to the COVID situation. It's personal. The doctor doesn't have to agree with that. The doctor can agree with that, or the doctor can pass. Something like that. Say if I think, oh, this looks slightly political. There's a health condition problem, yes, but there's a political side to it. And the doctor can say, pass. Something like that, all right? Okay, you get it. We have Dr. Fred. You're going to have to say your name yourself. So your father, I know your father could be listening. It's like, Joyce, that's you should know it by now.
Good afternoon, Lagos. Yes, it's me, Dr. Frederick Unwigbohai.
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 Yeah, Unwigbohai.
It sounds like German on my tongue. So
Joyce, let's
look, it's certainly a pleasure having you.
Yeah.
We have Dr. Julian Ojebo.
Yeah.
Good afternoon to you, Julian. We're happy to have you here.
Good afternoon, Joyce.
Yeah, and glad I like the smile on you. Thank you. I like the smile on your face. This would be a revealer. We're live streaming. We're on YouTube for sure and on Facebook. So if you're listening, you want to join the studios, please, you can join our live stream on Twitter, Nigeria Info FM on Twitter. I will try as quickly as possible to run through the questions that I have personally and then open up the telephone lines for you to ask your deep pressing vaccine questions. By the end of the day, I'm hoping I've been able to, I'm hoping to put just enough information on the table to help you arrive at a conclusion. All right. My name is Joyce Onyemoa, this beautiful Women's Day. How does the vaccine work? Any doctor can answer. Dr. Fred.
Okay. It's better I allow my boss speak.
Okay. Yeah, so Julian, yeah, Dr. Yeah. Julian, how does Dr. the vaccine Julian. Work?
Yeah, speak, please.
Thank you very much, Joyce. Just as a background, vaccination is one way that science has actually helped to curb a lot of transmissible diseases, as it were. Technically, narrowing down to the COVID vaccine, we have vaccines that work with the principle of the mRNA. The RNA, as we all know, while we did biology, is one of the components of the cell itself. So the messenger RNA is the principle for which some of these COVID vaccines work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the common vaccines that use the principle of the mRNA are the Pfizer vaccine, then the Johnson & Johnson, Moderna vaccine. Okay. Now, the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine acts like a viral vector. Okay. Mm-hmm. It uses like a viral vector. Is it like a viral vector vaccine that does not allow replication? Okay, of the COVID virus itself. Okay, so these are basically the two pathways in which the current vaccines we have function. Okay, so it's either via the viral vector or via messenger RNA. So okay. Basically, this is how it works.
All right, yeah. So I'm Lagos, Nigeria. If you have just tuned in, you're on the sunny side. My name is Joyce. In the studio with me, I have Dr. Fred. Dr. Fred, you're a general practitioner.
I'm an occupational health physician.
Occupational health physician. And we have Julian Ojebo, Associate Fellow, Anesthesia and Critical Care. And I want to, for the sake of those who are listening, kind of see whether I can summarize what you have just said. Mm-hmm. Vaccines contain weakened or inactive parts of a particular organism antigen that triggers an immune response within the body. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah, sure.
So human body has two abilities, which is one, the innate immune system and the adaptive immune system. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah, very accurate. The innate immune system is the one that fends off. Once an antigen comes in, mm-hmm. or once a disease comes into the body, mm-hmm. it sees it and kind of like tries to encapsulate it and wards it off. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's one way. Now, we can do... through science, we can actually try to help the body to mount another response to any foreign organism that is coming into the body. Mm-hmm. So when you introduce this vaccine into the body, it kind of like sends a memory, mm-hmm. okay? It gives the body a memory and the body says, okay, when I see anything that looks like this, I'm going to engulf it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's basically how it works.
All right, so I'm going to try to summarize what I think I understand you have just said. You're probably maybe referring to T cells and B cells being, is that correct? I want you to say it because everybody's, yes. If you gave me a don't know you gave me a thumbs up for that.
Yeah, actually, you're right.
You're right.
Okay, all right. So the T and B cells are T lymphocytes and the B would be the B lymphocyte, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so yes. During an immune response, the B and the T cells create memory cells. These are clones of the specific B and T cells that remain in the body, holding information about each treatment that the body has been exposed to. Mm-hmm. This gives the immune system memory.
Correct.
True that. Very correct.
Meaning that the body has the capacity to do what the vaccine is trying to do.
Now, that's, I'm going to say this, trying to break it down further.
That's why you're here.
When you say the body has the capacity to do what it's supposed to do, I agree. However, the body system can be overwhelmed, okay? The body system can be overwhelmed such that it does not create enough memory cells to actually combat that foreign organism that is coming into the body. Okay, so when the body cannot do that, that is when science now comes into play and a vaccine is now produced to actually like ward off that offending organism that is actually coming into the body. So yes, sometimes the body can produce its own. Sometimes the body may not have enough immunity, enough memory to actually ward off whatever is coming into it. So by science, you now say, okay, let's get something to help the body to produce or to mount an immune response against this organism that looks like this.
Okay. In what situations would the body lack an immune situation? Is it because the patient is on, say, immune repressant drugs, or the patient has an immune deficiency? In what situation would the body not be able to defend itself?
Okay, now, generally, in immunocompromised individuals.
Sorry, doctor. I would like for you to be quick because I also want to give the public the opportunity to ask both of you questions at some point. And I have a litany of questions for you. This is not intended to be controversial. We're hoping to gain as much clarity on the subject of vaccination as much as it is possible. Dr. Julian, please go ahead.
Yeah. Now, in immunocompromised individuals, this is not the case we're talking about now. We're saying that the body system, the way God created it is such that if a foreign organism comes in, the body system produces things that will engulf that foreign.
The body can defend itself.
Defend itself. However, now in some viruses, some particular viruses, the body itself does not really recognize them, okay? So what science does is that it creates something that looks like a replica in vitro. Okay, in vitro means in the labs. So we create something that looks like that virus we see in now the host body. So when we create it, what they're trying to do is that those spike proteins, those proteins that are like encapsulating the nucleus itself of the virus, mm-hmm. it tends to like kind of try to wedge it off.
Okay.
Okay, so when you now introduce it into the body now sees it and a memory cell is now imprinted in the whole genome of, in the whole background of the disease itself and says, okay, we are now going to fight against anything that looks like this.
Okay.
Engulf anything that looks like this. Mm-hmm. So those things that are on the outside.
The newly injected memory.
The newly injected memory. Those things that are like outside the cell wall now fights against whatever that comes in that looks like it.
That looks like
okay,
it.
Okay, so that's the, yeah, that's the, science.
That's practically the illustration.
Yeah, that's the science behind.
Do you agree that vaccines reprogram the human immune system, or at least to a large degree, affect the immune system permanently?
Well, science has actually made me, I'm a follower of science and a believer of science. Science has made me understand that vaccination is actually something that helps to curb, cure, eliminate a lot of infectious diseases all around the world, okay? So I wouldn't agree to the fact that it weakens your immune system. No, it doesn't.
I haven't even gotten to the part of weakened. Believe me, I haven't even gotten out. That was even the next question. Okay. I'm asking that can we at this point state in plain terms that vaccine, particularly when the virus, quote unquote, is said to be of a foreign nature, alters the human immune system permanently?
It doesn't alter the human immune system permanently. I do not agree to that.
All
if
right.
it does, most of us would have been dead today because we did have the measles vaccine, we had the rubella vaccine, we had polio vaccines, and we're still alive.
Yeah,
still
the intent might not be
still cerebral.
Yeah, but you might not. Okay? It might not. Doctor, when you say you're still cerebral, there are some people who, for example, we don't know the cause of their problem, but they have neurological problems, but we don't know what the problem is.
We do agree. Of course, we do agree.
The fact that you don't have it, we cannot eliminate that possibility that there can be actually a consequence like neurological disorder.
Yes, I do agree that there's nothing on planet Earth without an adverse effect. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's nothing on planet Earth that doesn't have a side effect. Even the water we drink has a side effect. Okay, so of course, yes.
Which water do you drink that has... Doctor, I beg to disagree that water in its in its purest form has any side effects. Except your water is polluted, then we can talk about
that.
Okay, fine, it's fine. This is supposed to be a conversation and an interesting one for that matter.
Of course, yes, we can say that... We can say that categorically that everything we have that is produced outside the body has some form of side effects to the host body itself. Categorically.
Okay, so maybe the way I put it is a little too extreme for you. What I mean is when you inject something foreign into a natural system, the foreign body doesn't leave after, say, for example, 1 month or 3 months. It stays there. Meaning that if I get the disease 2 years from now, there's quote-unquote something that has been...
It should mount.
Meaning that something is latching onto my immune system. Is that fair?
Yes, of course.
That is not natural.
Protectively.
Well, yeah, you'd save your doctor. Yeah. You would put it like that, but I'm not choosing to tag it to be protective or destructive. I'm trying to establish that there's something foreign in my immune system. Correct.
Correct.
What are the possible? What are the?
Though.
It's all right. We're going somewhere. If you have just tuned in, welcome to 99.3 Nigeria Info, 17 minutes past 1 p.m. Doctors, I have a next question for you. What are the possible side effects of an altered immune system? Or what is the possible issue that can arise from an immune system that has been altered? I can suggest something, autoimmune system this autoimmune disorder.
Autoimmune diseases.
Yeah, I can suggest that. So you as a doctor can choose to correct me if I'm wrong or auto-suggest something far brilliant than autoimmune disease. Go ahead.
Okay. So now, first of all, we need to understand what autoimmune diseases actually mean.
That's why
we
here.
Have to understand what it means, because if you're mentioning autoimmune diseases with regards to vaccine right now, then we are taking it to another point entirely.
Can I state something?
Okay, go ahead.
I haven't said that autoimmune disease is a result of vaccination.
Good.
I have asked, what is the possible consequence that could arise? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a simple practical grammar.
Okay.
Yeah, like if my immune system is being tampered with, maybe for the good, as you say, mm-hmm. then the downside is that if it doesn't turn out for the good and it turns out for the bad, I could come out with an autoimmune disorder.
Okay.
Because what you tampered with is the immune system. Am I correct? Logically, you might have a scientific explanation for that. Is that correct or not?
So let me explain, because your statement and your question, permit me to say, is not correct with regards to autoimmune disease.
Correct.
Now, autoimmune disease, from the definition itself, auto and immune means something self-starts, self-operates, autoimmune.
So would the perfect word be immune deficiency?
No.
No,
it doesn't relate with immune deficiency. So autoimmune means, yes, autoimmune means it's working on its own. Now, autoimmune disease is a very big word, and the causes of autoimmune disease is still ongoing. The search is ongoing. But they've said that about three causes. Number one, your genetic makeup.
So what if we said immune competence? So let's use the word immune competence. If my immune system is competent, for example, mm-hmm. and I encounter a bacteria, mm-hmm. then my system would be able to ward off the bacteria, true or false?
True.
So in the event that my immune system is incapable of doing that, what do you call that in medicine?
Yeah, immunosuppressed.
I'm immunosuppressed.
There's an immune suppression going on. And the funny thing about it is that at every point in time, we are at an immunosuppressed state.
Okay.
Even with stress.
Yeah.
So if you're going through a heavy form of stress, you can be immunosuppressed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going through even with a normal flu, cold, at a state, your immune system is down. So mm-hmm. every individual at one point in time in their life has had the immunosuppressed state. Now, that is not a concern for us, mm-hmm. because we know your immune system will surely pick up back. But there are some individuals, even at birth, they are already having an immune problem. Immune deficiency, even mm-hmm. at birth.
Yeah.
Those individuals are special cases.
What do you think could have caused that?
Now, this is what we're talking about, a genetic abnormality. The genetic
caused
makeup.
By. So first of all, I can tell you, I was trying to figure out the causes for immune deficiencies.
Yeah.
Either your immune system overreacting or underreacting.
So number one.
And so far, with all the money in the world, there's no scientific documentation, research done on the cause of immune deficiencies.
No. That's not correct. Let me use the word not correct. Number one, I'll tell you why, number one. So number one, the genetic components of autoimmune diseases. There's been a link of genetic components with regards to some conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the immune system itself is what we call autoantibodies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the very common one that people would know about, I'm using that one as an example, is type 1 diabetes, autoimmune, where your antibodies, now it's yours. There is nothing from the external. It's your antibody destroying your pancreatic islet cells.
Your immune system attacking
your own
human body.
Nobody interfered. Nobody. Not science never involved.
Is it possible that the person could have inherited something?
It's possible. There's a possibility to
Thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah, we needed to establish that, because a mother...
Now, from the area of the genetic makeup. So if you understand, that's why we said there's a genetic component to this, there's the immune component to this, and the environmental part of this too. So if an individual inherits something from the paternal side or the maternal side in the gene that could cause the development of autoantibodies, true, it could happen. And the environmental part of it, where people are exposed to a whole lot of them. Now, example of the environmental part, which we also need to know about, is the viruses too in our environment. Now, these viruses are not the one we're talking about, the coronavirus.
So let me also add to that, and then you can continue off the backs of that. So according to what I found, I hear that environmental factors, and some people also suggest medication. For example, medication during the mother's pregnancy.
That's a very big word again during pregnancy, because there were medications
or something inherited. something inherited. So sometimes if you look back in to some, if you look back to some generations, your great-grandfather didn't have a particular ailment. And then you come here and then you realize, oh, you have this particular ailment. And then science tries to explain it by saying that environmental factors caused it. So the question is, they actually suggest environmental factors could have caused that. Or some even say drugs. Meaning that some drugs have the capacity to bring about life-altering, debilitating consequences.
So when we mention drugs, it's not right if we leave it at that point. We need to mention one of those drugs, and very common drugs are those chemotherapeutic agents.
Okay.
That's only
one of many angles. There's the fact that you inherited it and you don't even know what you have inherited.
So we're trying to look for areas where we could say, okay, this might be the cause, this might be the cause, this might be the cause.
Okay. So once again, let me state, and you correct us if we are wrong, that an immune system that's competent is one that can defend itself, meaning that the extreme case would be an immune repressed system or a hypersensitive immune system.
So
is that correct?
As we make this foundation, it's important we state that sometimes your immune system might need support. So your immune system could be competent, and as it's trying to evade and battle and fight off whatever is going on, it could be depleted.
Okay.
So this immune system needs support, reinforcement.
Yeah.
So trying to say that my immune system is competent and is good to go, therefore I actually do not need support or help in a way, is not right. Because at one point in my life, my immune system might be so down, might be battling something that I need support.
So then let's go back to what was initially discussed, which means that I do agree with you, because it makes clear sense if you say that I'm going through a particular disease and then my immune system needs backup. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my body cannot afford to train soldiers within 3 days, mm-hmm. T cells and B cells. Yeah. So now I'm injected with something that helps my system. Yeah. I agree with that. Is there a possibility that in the attempt to save me from one disease where I'm injected with, say, an autoimmune boost, mm-hmm. that there is a side effect to that, and it can be anything in the lines of my immune system being tampered with? Like can we say that if we are tampering with the immune system, that there is a possibility that you are messing up with the immune system?
No, I do not agree with you.
It's all right.
I do not agree.
It's okay.
Now, what science is trying to do is that before any drug whatsoever is produced in the labs, most of these side effects based on genetic makeup, race, sex, all these are actually put into the processes. For you to say this drug should not be used in this age group. This drug can be used in this age group. This drug cannot be used for this race.
So you're saying that it's gone through proper testing.
Proper testing.
To determine.
We can now say yes.
Okay.
Scientifically, say the confidence interval for this particular group of patients is this level.
All right.
Why the sensitivity?
So I have an AstraZeneca question for you. We're going to go off on a break. When we come back, I want to share with you something right off the website of the FDA. We'll be right back. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Joyce. We're having the biggest COVID conversation ever.
The Sunny Side with Joyce.
Night to 9.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the Sunny Side. My name is Joyce. We're having, a very interesting conversation on vaccines. And I have two doctors with me. Dr. Julian Ojebo and Fred. Go ahead. Say your name.
Unubohai.
Yeah. Fred Unubohai. Your father's going to be like, Joyce, you're going to have to apologize later. All right, so these are two doctors. They have a rich background in medical studies, and I thought that it would be necessary that they try to answer as many questions as they can as possible. So I'm the one taking the liberty to be as non-medical as possible. Come with my suspicion, and hopefully the doctors can try to straighten the crooked lines. If you have just tuned in, this is Nigeria Info. If you have any vaccine questions on Twitter, Nigeria Info FM on Twitter. And then we're going to quickly just segue into into the questions that I have. I'm going to, for the moment, I think the doctors understand that, say, immune disorders, well, they have tried to explain that there are factors that bring about immune system. I was trying to underline the fact that if you tamper with, say, the immune structure of a human, of a person's body, that one of the maybe not so popular side effects can be the immune system becomes suppressed or becomes hypersensitive. So I don't know if that's a yes or a no. Anybody going to touch that real quick? Yes or no? Or is there a maybe in between there, doctors?
There's no scientific backing to that.
So you pass. Good. There's no scientific backing, yeah?
No scientific backing.
It's all right then. So if you're listening to radio, could you bookmark that, that there is no scientific backing, that if your immune system gets tampered with a vaccine, that what is likely the outcome can be your immune system gets suppressed, or it gets hypersensitive. So that's one question that the doctors are choosing to pass. Okay, so I suggest that given that situation, something like immune deficiency, or say immunocompromisation can be the situation. According to what I found, they say it's a state which the immune system's ability to fight infectious disease, like say for example cancer, is compromised or entirely absent. Further, it states immunodeficiency disorders disrupt your body's ability to defend itself against bacteria, viruses, or parasites. Remember, doctors, is that correct?
Yeah. Very correct.
So if immunodeficiency is your body's inability to ward off bacteria, viruses, parasites, let's also underscore the fact that the intent of a vaccine is to help your body be able to ward off blah, 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 blah. So we're just adding the dots together.
Yeah.
All right, then. Did you see that link? All right. Latency effects. Doctors, don't worry. Look, by the end of this day, I think I would have answered your question 90%. Doctors, latency effect. Is it possible that a patient who has had, say, an injection in order to help support their immune system in the fight against viruses, bacteria, and diseases can not show any physical or clinical disorder until the body's immune system comes in contact with, say, a virus? Is that a clear question? So let me put it this way. Clinical diseases may be... Okay.
I'll try to answer that by giving you a scenario. Okay. For example, while you're in the kitchen there, and hot water pours on your body, what it forms at first is may not be an entire scar.
Yeah.
It may just be a bullous eruption, just like swelling, and then you see water in it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, there are two things you can do to that. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You can leave that bullous eruption.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave that, and you're going to lose that arm.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because what it means is that you've broken the normal integrity of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
The skin is supposed to like protect you, but you've broken that.
But so then the T and B cells come to play, or don't they?
Hold on. Mm. Now, you can actually lose that hand from just that bullous eruption. Okay?
Okay.
Now, you can take, make fancy that a sulfonylurea, a sulfur-containing drug. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you are that patient that is allergic to sulfur-containing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You may now have another eruption elsewhere in your body, elsewhere on your body. Now, when you have that eruption, it's now the sulfur agent that's caused the hypersensitive reaction for
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Okay, on one side. Plus that bullous eruption that you had from just that water burn.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot tell exactly, maybe by looking at it after a few days, this one is from bullous eruption from water boil, this one is from sulfur-containing agents.
Okay.
Okay, so what we are trying to say, in essence, hoping not to confuse you further.
Yeah, it's fine.
Is to say that you cannot say that when you take a particular drug, It is the cause of that your background immunosuppressed state. You may have had an immunosuppressed state ab initio.
Yeah.
Now, it may only just be
is there part of doctor
at that time.
Doctor, is the otherwise situation also possible? Like, is the other part of the argument also possible? Just the same way you say, we kind of quite established that. Is that a yes?
Of course, it's possible.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I agree.
Thank you. That's a 50-50. This is going well. You have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, thank you very much. I want to quickly state the American Medical Report. Autoimmune diseases are a family of more than 80 chronic, often debilitating, and in some cases life-threatening illnesses. According to the National Institute of Health in America, up to 23.5 million Americans, more than 7% of the population, suffer from an autoimmune disease, and the prevalence is rising. Can you confirm, doctors, how many... So I want to go to another scenario here. Can we quickly confirm how many vaccines the average Nigerian child gets and how many vaccines the average American child gets at birth?
Attend to that. So,
okay.
So I'll try to list the vaccines, then maybe we do the count. So there's the oral polio vaccine, there's the hepatitis B vaccine they receive the measles vaccine, they receive the DPT, diphtheria, the pertussis, the tetanus vaccine. I mentioned the measles, the yellow fever vaccine. There's also the rotavirus vaccine.
That's about seven now?
I think about seven, eight.
Seven, eight?
Yeah.
So, and then maybe the doses might bring it to about...
Yeah, so we know about the OP oral at birth. Then 6 weeks later, 10 weeks later, 14 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And also for the measles.
Yeah.
Take one dose. Then there's a vaccine they take again. I think it's HBV vaccine also.
Okay.
At 6 weeks, at 10 weeks, and also at 14 weeks.
Average Nigerian child.
Yeah, average Nigerian
child. So given the different vaccines, we're looking at seven or eight?
Correct.
Seven?
Yeah, let's work with seven.
Let's work with seven?
More than that, though.
Dr. Fred, I forwarded to you from the CDC the yearly update on the vaccines the average American child will take. How many numbers did you find there?
Joyce. I didn't count them, though.
I was hoping you did. I thought I counted 22.
I didn't count them.
No, I think I counted 17. Pardon me. I think I counted 17. Now, I might be wrong.
Mm.
And considering the possibility that I could be wrong,
yeah.
I wanted to send it to you as a doctor to look at it with a medical eye, as given that I don't have a medical eye.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to underscore something. No, yeah, given that I don't have a medical eye. And I want to, in fact, let me go to the CDC website. Let me share with you what's on the CDC website. So we can, and if you can, please, I'll wait for the American figures when it comes to vaccination for the average kid.
Yeah.
I did share with you a few minutes ago that autoimmune diseases in America is said to be about a family of 80 chronic and often debilitating diseases, life-threatening illnesses, and so on. It's recorded that 23.5 million Americans are suffering from these immune disorders, and it's rising. According to America's immunology report, in the past 50 years, rates of infectious diseases have diminished, but chronic diseases or chronic conditions and disabilities are rising. On the CDC website, and I quote, the World Health Organization has stated that young people today will live less healthy lives than their parents, in part because of higher rates and early onset of chronic diseases. Current evidence in the U.S. suggests that chronic diseases among young people is a growing problem. For example, 1-3% of American children have hypertension, and stroke is among the top causes of childhood deaths.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 5 U.S. children have obesity, and the prevalence of type 2 diabetes is projected to quadruple
mm-hmm.
on a national level from 22,800-something
mm-hmm.
in 2010 to 84,000 in 2015
mm-hmm.
and 2050.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have something to say?
I have, please. Permit me to react. Okay.
Sorry, Fred. Let me just take the diabetes you're talking about.
Okay.
Now, most of our children all around the world now, sedentary lifestyle, diets, okay? Poor exercising, gaming.
We're talking about diabetes in children that cannot run. Like this, we're talking about two-year-olds. We're talking about diabetic children.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. I am telling you about children.
Sedentary. 1 year old, 8 months old, sedentary?
No, okay, now look.
Lifestyle? What's a baby to do at four? What do children do at three?
You see a child. Let me bring out something that happened some time ago on social media. There was a child that was a little bit obese, and so many people got talking. But as soon as the child started to walk, everybody noticed that there was a drastic reduction in that child's weight. Okay? As long as there's physical exercise, there is bound to be weight loss. Okay, why did we come up with the idea of smartphones, smart wristwatches? It's for us to be able to check our sedentary lifestyle, check our work rate, check the moments of our sleeps, you know, and all of this. So it's a combination of so many things, not just one thing, okay?
I agree. For example, one of the many things...
The rest of them is just even the reason why most of them are being obese.
Well, yeah. So when you say diet for an eight month old baby, you're meaning that the food the child is being fed, because there's also obesity in dogs, for example, which is weird, which is in every animal. Okay, good.
Man is an animal.
Yeah, but it would appear that you think it's comprehensible that a 6 month old baby is obese. So say like an 8 month old baby is. I mean, you're a medical doctor. Maybe you've seen too much of it. But for me,
okay, now I'll give you an example.
A child that's not comprehensible at birth.
A child that's overweight at birth, say let's say weighing more than 4 kg, and the mother ab initio was a diabetic mother, will say that the child was overweight because the mother had gestational diabetes, or the mother had a type of diabetes while she had the pregnancy. So because of those
factors,
those gluconeogenic hormones, as it were, in utero, that child was big. Now you don't expect that child to lose all of that.
True. I agree.
Okay, so that may just be the cause for that particular child having that.
Is it possible that obesity can also be like a genetic disposition? Because when we say that environmental factors bring about obesity, for example, we're also suggesting that, yeah, environmental factors play a role, but that there can be the side effects of some kind of medications that can make some people predisposed to obesity. And obesity is even one.
Okay.
There's hyenia. There is allergy to food. Like American children right now are having heavy allergies to food.
Let's not go to hyenia.
No. Excuse me. The reason I mentioned it is because it was actually one of the things also listed when, you know, I was looking through some of the effects of autoimmune, say, disorders. So yeah, I'm not trying to necessarily throw you off or deliberately go off. I'm just mentioning some of the few things that I've stumbled on as a consequence of what can be the outcome if your immune system was repressed or suppressed.
Okay, Joy, so let's not go out of point. You mentioned chronic diseases and obesity as one of them. Remember?
Nobody's trying to go out of point.
I know, let's not go towards obesity, then we stick on obesity.
No, that's why I'm saying that's why I've said, for example, five times already.
So chronic diseases generally would be on the rise. Would continue to increase in our generation.
Why?
For one major reason, our lifestyle. So even without interfering with anybody's body states, without interfering with your health, and your lifestyle continues to remain poor. And there are facts, there are results, there have been studies to prove to that effect, that our lifestyle has a major effect on chronic disease. Example of those diseases that we have seen and is still on the rise: hypertension, diabetes, we have seen cancers.
All right.
So this stuff right now would keep on increasing.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm stating that is one of what is possible. There's also the fact that some medications can make you predisposed to some things.
Now, the medications that would predispose an individual to obesity,
like
the very
side
common
effect from
one,
a drug.
Steroids. Now, when we mention medications, we have emphasized and overemphasized again that science has done their studies and told you that never take medications out of a doctor's prescription. Number one, never take medication out of...
Do you suppose that every prescription that the doctor gives a patient has no side effect?
Never. I would never say that.
Because sometimes the people who have these health conditions didn't quite take a medication out of the doctor's purview. It actually happened that some of their medication can be said to be a consequence of medication. That's a possibility. I'm not saying it's 100% the reason for their issue. It is worth considering that, given that we have considered environmental factors mm-hmm. to actually influence the health or wellness of a person, that we also consider the possibility that some drugs can have, you know, a side effect. For example, is it possible that there's any pharmaceutical product that has no side effect on the face of the earth?
No.
So meaning that some exactly. So meaning that some people can die from Excuse me. Is it true that some people can die from some medication? Some can have debilitating.
Joyce, I put it to you categorically that some people can die from drugs that they take. I put it
even
to
you penicillin. Exactly. Yeah. So when
I
we can
sit,
good. We're
however,
moving. Okay.
However, because of the science, mm-hmm. because of what we've read over time. Mm-hmm. Okay, practically I've been reading medicine since like 2001.
Yeah.
2002. So I've read medicine for quite a long time.
Okay.
So I can tell you that categorically, what Fred is trying to say is that when we say, for example, you go over the counter and you're a guy and you just go and buy metformin.
Mm-hmm.
Metformin has some side effects like erectile dysfunction for men. I'm using that as an example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you come to meet me and I'm an endocrinologist, I'm not going to prescribe metformin for the guy. If I know that there are other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drugs that he can take for his...
So meaning people shouldn't self-medicate, for example, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so okay. If you self-medicate and you take drugs out of a doctor's prescription, we have done the drug-drug interaction. One of the things we study in when we're doing pharmacology is that we study drug-drug interactions.
Okay.
So when we study these drug-drug interactions, we know the drugs that you shouldn't take with another drug.
Okay.
We know the drugs that you can take in sync with another drug.
Okay.
There are drugs that will tell you, okay, while taking this one, stop on this one.
Yeah.
When you're done with this one, you can now continue with this
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
So we cannot say categorically.
It's not a categorical statement. I floated it as a possibility of outcomes.
I can say categorically
that
you can take a drug and die from it.
Beautiful. So you agree. Okay. So I want to quickly move on to coronavirus as an airborne disease. Would you agree? The coronavirus, in your medical view, would you call it would you say it can spread airborne?
So when you say something is an airborne disease, what you're trying to pass across simply means, so when I go out, I can get this via air.
Yeah, so
right
is it possible that coronavirus can be spread airborne? Because I was going through a particular medical research, the National Center for Biotechnology Information in the U.S., and they carried out, say, a mask testing, for example. And they said that the mask that kind of gave about 80 to 90% coverage from the virus mm-hmm. was the N95, but that the cloth and the surgical mask was only able to prevent the virus 20 for the cloth and 40% for the surgical mask. 40% prevention.
Mm-hmm.
So what as doctors would you say about the fact that I could still be exposed 60% to this virus? Well, what would you say about that? I mean, you can disagree with the research, but it was actually from a reputable body, so I don't...
I'm not going to disagree with the research.
Okay.
I'm actually going to agree with the research.
Okay.
Okay? Now... One of the things that one of the reasons why we wear N95 masks or surgical masks actually is for us to create a barrier between us and the patient.
Yeah.
Okay. Before now.
Okay.
Back in the days, it was agreed that once there's some form of barrier, it reduces the amount or the risk at which you transmit to your patient
or
get from your patient.
Okay.
Okay. That's agreed.
Okay.
Now, the N95 mask, it's agreed that it has more than 3 layers level of protection where it can actually protect more than the surgical mask itself.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, we agree that one of the reasons we found out was that the distance between two persons, coronavirus is vector bound and human is the vector.
All right.
Okay. So human can only transmit to another human when you're in a particular distance.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So even though it doesn't give 100% protection, you support that whatever protection you can get from wearing a mask is better than no protection at all. You support that?
Of course, it's better than no protection.
Okay,
condoms do not protect completely from sexually transmitted diseases.
But you might as well just gamble wearing a condom. Yeah.
Yeah,
all right,
but you shouldn't be stupid enough to not use a condom.
Yeah. All right.
That's the idea.
Okay.
You should protect yourself to some level of personal protection.
Absolutely. So this question might be, I don't know what you would say about it, but remember that you have the option to choose to pass a question that you would not respond to. National Center for Biotechnology Information is part of the U.S. National Library of Medicine, a branch of National Institute of Health. It is also funded by the American government, and here is a report from the NCBI 2005, and I quote, "We report, however, that chloroquine has strong antiviral effects on SARS-CoV infection of primate cells." What do you say about that?
Again, science doesn't lie. Okay, now it's agreed that chloroquine, what it does is that it prevents the attachment of these viruses to the human host cells. Okay, so whenever you take any drug that can limit the binding of these COVID viruses to the body, it's assumed that you're kind of like protecting the body itself.
So okay, you would not dispute that.
That's coming into your body.
You would not dispute.
Sorry?
You would not dispute that chloroquine might have.
I'm not disputing that.
Okay, beautiful.
I'm not disputing that. We've used chloroquine during the preliminary stages of management of COVID-19, and it worked. It worked for us. I work in a neurospecialist teaching hospital.
Okay.
We're the home of treatment for Lassa fever.
Yeah.
And other infectious diseases. So we've used chloroquine. Okay. In vitro and in vivo, and we found out that it did help with the progression from mild to moderate and severe cases.
Thank you.
Okay, so yes, I agree.
Okay, so next question. Scientists and researchers have had to pretty much estimate the recovery rate of COVID-19 without vaccination. Some medical professionals roughly suggest 97%, some suggest 99.7%, and I guess that maybe they're checking that data or that figure is as a result of, say, the surveyed environment. So when we look at Nigeria today, over 200 million population, deaths from COVID recorded at 1,964 cases, 160,000. How would you rate the recovery of COVID by the average Nigerian?
Now, so many things actually come into play when we talk about COVID in Nigeria, okay? Comes from testing, comes from believing science, comes from people actually believing that there even exists the COVID. Okay, some persons may mount up I'll boldly say that COVID is like a cold.
Yeah, so the recovery rate without a vaccine, I want you to give me a figure.
Yeah, without the vaccines, some children actually react to the normal common cold differently from some other children. So do adults. I have a cold, you have a cold. You may go worse, very lethargic, very fatigued, muscle pains and the rest. I may not have all of those.
Yeah.
It may just be that you have some
antibodies
in your genome. You have one or two things in your genome that may not be able to mount that response just like me.
Or maybe I just have a healthy immune system. How about that?
You may just have an healthy immune system.
Okay. So the recovery rate, give me a figure. Would you say 99.5%? Would you say 80%? Would you say 70% when you look at the statistics in Nigeria and the recovery rates that we can pretty much observe in Nigeria? How quickly how easily can people recover from COVID?
From my own personal research, okay? People within the ages of 20 and 40 without comorbidities actually recover very fast. So I can give that by over 90% if I go by the number of persons I've actually treated myself.
Okay.
Then persons with comorbidities, hypertension, I can say like 70%.
Okay.
While persons with comorbidities like diabetes and other immunosuppressed conditions, diabetes, obesity, HIV, SLEs, and the rest of them.
All right.
I'll give it very low because the turnout, the outcome has actually been very low. Okay, like personally, I've not seen any patient with diabetes that has recovered from COVID.
Okay.
But I've seen a patient that was morbidly obese, his BMI was over 60, and he actually survived.
All right.
After, and went home after like 17 days. But there's also another catch.
Okay, so sorry, doctor. I'm going to have to go off on a break. When we come back, you're going to round up that thought and then maybe eventually give me a figure. We'll be right back. This is Nigeria Info. You're on the Sunny Side. My name is Joyce.
This is the Sunny Side. My name is Joyce. Tune in to The Sunny Side with Joyce every weekday from 12 to 3 p.m.
Expect so much fun right here. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to The Sunny Side. My name is Joyce. We have three more minutes before the headlines, so don't go anywhere. After the headlines, the doctors are still here. They're going to try to answer as many questions as possible. God, I hope I'm doing a good work. We're trying to extract information. So the doctor, Julian Ojebo, was trying to finalize his thoughts. I couldn't allow him then. Now I can. Doctor, please, could you continue? You're trying to highlight something, and I think it's necessary that the people hear from you.
Yeah, I actually did say that persons with comorbid conditions, the rate of recovery is actually lower when compared to those without comorbid conditions.
Yeah.
Okay, because your body is kind of like not fighting so many things, as it were.
Okay.
You know, it's just fighting like the COVID. And through whatever means possible, either by the administration of acidic contents, whatever you're taking, and then it's kind of like warding off, you know, this virus, as it were, kind of like not making the milieu for the virus to function or to replicate and to move from very mild to very severe symptoms, okay? That is what the whole thing is all about.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Okay, so thank you very much for clarifying that. But those without comorbidity or, say, underlying illnesses have a greater chance, and is, you're putting it at 90% or something more than that for those for recovery without a vaccine. Yeah?
For recovery with treatment. Actually,
for recovery with treatment, yeah? So meaning that the body's immune system can actually ward off the coronavirus. Yes?
Currently, it's treatment. We've seen
no, I'm not disputing that. Okay.
Yeah.
So
we cannot say it's just their innate immunity that's helping them ward off the coronavirus itself.
Okay.
Okay, so there's some level of treatment.
Okay.
So we do agree that with treatment, they do better compared to those that don't take treatment.
Okay, so we have a minute. I don't know whether this is fair to give you 1 minute to speak on this, but maybe I'll share the question now so you can think about it while we're off on a break. On the FDA website, they put out a fact sheet for Moderna vaccine, and they stated light symptoms and then further added a severe symptom like difficulty breathing, swelling of the face and the throat, a fast heartbeat, bad rash all over the body, dizziness and weakness. And then something very fundamental, I think you should hear. These may not be all the possible side effects of Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. Serious and unexpected side effects may occur. The Moderna COVID-19 vaccine is still being studied in clinical trials. So when you go to a website and you hear something like that, you know, you're told that the Moderna vaccine is still being studied and that there are chances, and this is what I was trying to underscore earlier when I said that, yes, a vaccination can help the immune system gain bigger strength and more soldiers to ward off the disease. But there is also the possibility that it can tamper with your immune system to the point where we can say it has messed up your immune system. So this is on the FDA website stating in plain grammar that there could be more serious and unexpected side effects. Given that, they also underscore that the Moderna is still undergoing studied and clinical trials. So I'm going to go off for a break, allow you a minute to think about that. The headlines is up next. Don't go anywhere. I have two doctors in the studio. They're trying to help us make sense of vaccination and what's about to be our reality any moment from now. We'll be right back. To 9.3 Nigeria Info. We have a few more minutes to make this, bring this to its end, but we have a few more pressing questions. Julian Ojebo is a doctor in the studio, and Dr. Fred, you all know him already, and they're doing a good job trying to help us comprehend what we could be dealing with. So here I have more questions, not a lot anyways. I want to get their professional view. Welcome, my name is Joyce. You're on The Sunny Side. We're asking the toughest questions around vaccination, and so far I am pleased with what? With the show. Okay.
Some people are itching. They want to call. Like
I know.
Like,
is this? I wish I didn't have to write so many questions. But was okay. So let's see whether we can do this. So, Doctor, before the break, I did mention that on the FDA website, they state clearly, and I quote, "These may not be," after they have stated light reaction from being vaccinated to somewhat, quote unquote, severe reaction from the vaccination, which they state to be fast breathing, swelling of the face and throat, difficulty breathing, bad rash all over your body, dizziness and weakness. Then they further add, "These may not be all the possible side effects of Moderna vaccine. Serious and unexpected side effects may occur." Now, the reason I want to underscore this is because when I brought it up earlier on, when we're talking about autoimmune deficiency, immunocompetence, you were trying to make me understand that, well, I think you did a good job, but we were able to establish the fact that though it might be good, it could have a bad side. So here is on the FDA website. So what would you say about the fact that there's a possibility of more severe and unexpected outcomes from the Moderna vaccine, for example? I mean, that's one of many vaccines that we have out there in the market. So if you can quickly answer that, I have a few more supporting questions for you. Please go ahead, Dr. Julian.
Yeah. The myriad of symptoms. I don't know if you've actually checked the leaflets of paracetamol ever before. You're not ever going to take paracetamol.
What was on my mind? Same thing on my mind.
Ever.
The same thing on my
ever.
Mind.
Ever.
Okay.
You're never ever going to take paracetamol again.
So you suppose that we ignore this?
How many of those symptoms have you ever had?
Yeah. So do you suppose that? So you see, I think the components of paracetamol and maybe the possible side effects are not necessarily things that are known even through time. Mm-mm. Well, so.
Yes.
No,
you're saying that there can be severe, life-threatening, debilitating consequences from consuming...
Of course!
Okay, good. So if we have ignored paracetamol, mm-hmm. do we ignore this? Give me a yes or a maybe or a pass.
No, we never ignored paracetamol.
I used to take it, but I don't take it anymore. So I don't take it anymore. Right now, I used to take paracetamol. I used to take paracetamol. Then I discovered that paracetamol had caffeine. So now I take a cup of coffee and drink water and sleep and I'm good. So I don't take painkillers anymore for my headaches.
You've never had any throbbing headache that warrants you taking paracetamol? Trust
in the past, in the past, I did. That's what I'm saying. I did in the past, and I didn't necessarily have any side effects. So I'm suggesting you saying that this is just a...
You can as well not have any of these side effects.
Is it also possible that
you might also have those side effects?
Okay.
However, when you have these side effects, we are there to help you and say, within the first 20 minutes of you taking any drug, and you have this side effect, let us know.
Okay.
We prescribe the drug for you, okay?
Okay.
We are the ones that will tell you, in the next hour, you're going to get this. In the next hour, you're supposed to get this. But when you don't get, in the event you don't have any of these, you're actually fine. Also with vaccinations, we're also telling you that you may have all of these myriad of side effects, ranging from just mild cough to... Horner syndrome.
Yeah.
Like your face will be deviating to one side.
Yeah.
You can have some encephalopathies.
Okay.
We're saying you can have that.
Right.
But when you do have that, report to us.
Yeah.
So we know what to treat you for.
Thank you, doctors. We pray for you in the privacy of our hearts. So I wanted to state what could be said to be the possibility of the number of vaccines. I sent the CDC breakdown of vaccination for American children. What I have is 16 vaccines and 70 doses for the average American child. For Nigeria, I have about 7 vaccines. I really cannot quite state the dosage or the number of doses, but basically the number of vaccines that an average Nigerian child has to take is far less than that which, you know, say someone, the American counterpart we have.
No, I can't categorically tell you that. I'm not a pediatrician. I'm a critical care physician.
Okay.
So I cannot categorically tell you that.
Okay.
The number of vaccines.
I waited for Dr. Fred to do that.
If you get I could actually ask one of my pediatrician friends to tell
us. I'll appreciate
what
that. Yeah,
is. I will send it to you.
Okay, sure. I'll appreciate that. So let's quickly move on. Pfizer BioNTech vaccine is estimated to be 95% effective at preventing laboratory confirmed COVID-19 illnesses in people without evidence of previous infection. Moderna vaccine is estimated to have 94.1% effectiveness. J&J Janssen vaccine estimated to have 66.3% effectiveness in clinical trials. The Russian Sputnik V coronavirus vaccine gives about 92% protection. And the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine against COVID-19 has an efficacy of 63.09%, according to the World Health Organization. So now, none of them guarantees 100% protection. So in the event where, how does the average Nigerian interpret, say, for example, the Oxford AstraZeneca, which is pretty much what was sent to Nigeria, 63.09%, what does that mean? That we're exposed by 30-something percent of the virus?
Now, basically, I'm trying to bring this down to lowest bare minimum to be the layest term I can actually bring it to.
Yeah.
These percentages, okay, what they're trying to tell you is that for you to have between mild and very severe cases, it's actually within 33%.
Okay.
When you have these vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
But the efficacy of preventing you from moving from mild, moderate to severe illnesses is over 67%. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when we say in science something is over 67%,
mm-hmm.
over 65%, we mean that thing is, the sensitivity is very high.
Okay.
As to making sure that you do not come down with very life-threatening diseases or symptoms, as it were, from when you do not have the COVID vaccine.
Okay,
so when you do have the COVID vaccine, it elevates or raises
mm-hmm.
the chances of you not getting from mild to very severe disease. I dare say categorically also that the fact that you have this vaccine does not mean that you can't have the COVID virus.
Oh, thank you very much. So that was going to be my next question after I told you that.
Yes, it doesn't mean that you cannot have the virus.
The AstraZeneca,
what it means
okay.
is that...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, what it means is that if you follow the idea behind why these vaccines actually came out so early is such that they're trying to create something we call a herd immunity. Okay? A herd immunity is when like 80% of the population does not have the virus and the virus travels from person to person. So if over 80% of us do not have the virus, the ability for those of us dying will be reduced. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We cannot actually transmit these diseases from one person to another.
Okay,
so this is what it actually does. It improves herd immunity. So the target actually from the National Primary Health Care Development Agency is that in 2 years, about 70% of Nigerians would have been vaccinated.
Okay, so then it begs a very fundamental question. If a person's immunity is able to ward off the virus, because now we know that some people have had to be treated in order to have their immune system help fight this virus, but some of the Nigerians have not been treated. They just had,
those group of people, we'll call them asymptomatic carriers.
Fine. So they're
asymptomatic.
So we're
asymptomatic.
Yeah.
They don't have any symptom. They don't need to treat whatever.
Yeah.
However, they can transmit this virus from themselves to other people.
But they can do. But that can also be the case even after they get vaccinated. You can still transmit the virus after you get vaccinated, because you can get a vaccine and still contract the disease.
That's why we tell you that the fact that you're being vaccinated does not mean that you can engage in crowded events.
After being vaccinated, you still have to wear your mask, wash your hands, social distance. Yeah,
oh,
good,
yes.
Fine. So what about the immune systems that have been thoroughly able to ward off the coronavirus? Do they need a vaccine? If a person's immune system has come in contact with a virus and they have survived it without any medication, do they need a vaccine?
Science says take the vaccine.
What does your conscience say?
Right off.
What does your conscience say? And now this is a personal one, and you can pass.
I'm a believer of science.
Okay.
If I never believed science, I would have studied medicine.
Okay.
I'm a believer of science.
Yeah.
Science makes me understand that when I have a headache, it's as a result of release of histamines and the causing vasodilation in my brain.
And you take a medication.
I have to take something that will cause vasoconstriction in my brain. So for me not to have the headache, I believe that. I take that.
Yeah, but there's also placebo effects in medicine. Sir, there's also placebo effects. So there are chances that if you change your lifestyle, your headache will disappear.
Do research. Do research. We do have placebo, placebo studies. Okay? Now, these placebo studies are studies that make us understand that, in 80% of the time, this doesn't really work.
Okay. So are you saying...
Also need to understand. Now, when it comes to conscience, I have to also make you understand. I have seen patient relatives that they've lost their loved ones from COVID. To me, it's a science. It is a percentage of mortality.
Oh, no, I agree. I know.
That family is
asking. That's why
nobody wants to be the placebo.
No, I get it. And that's why I'm asking that. I understand how sensitive it can be if you'd had to treat somebody and they're at the risk of dying or not dying all under your care. And you have to make the best judgment. And sometimes, as far as you know, science is the best judgment. So that's why I am flipping the question and asking you, if a person's immune system without treatment has been able to ward off the COVID-19 virus, do they need a vaccine? Remember that the vaccine doesn't give 100%, doesn't make you 100% immune. You can still be vaccinated and still have the capacity to spread the virus. So given all that information, if my system is able to ward off that virus, do I need a vaccine?
We all need a vaccine.
Yeah, I guess. I thought you were going to say that. You're
a
doctor. But remember now that my immune system, why do you fix it if it's not broken? It would appear that you want me to take a vaccine. And this is me now trying to, get off the radio presenter part and really just meet you like a patient to a doctor. If it's not broken, why do I fix it? If my immune system has survived it without any treatment, why are you asking me to take a vaccine? And by the way, your vaccine doesn't even prevent me from having the virus.
If it's not broken, why do you fix it? If there's a crack, it's going to leak.
Yeah, but there is no crack, at least not yet.
There's soon going to be a crack because you don't know where the crack is going to come from.
Okay.
You don't know. You cannot foretell that there may be a crack. So we don't want you to have the crack that you don't leak.
Yeah.
Okay? Right. So that's what science is trying to help you do. Science is trying to prevent you from leaking.
All right.
Okay?
So, look, you have done a fantastic job of entertaining all my probing questions and all my conspiracy theories. And I did well to try to leave them with the medical observations. So I don't know whether you have enough time if you can take one question. I want it to be a question from the public. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right, Lagos Niger, you can ask. I want to take maybe a few questions before we let Dr. Julian leave. Hello, good afternoon to you. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Can you hear us?
Joyce.
Welcome. Good afternoon. What's your name and what's your question so that he can answer as many as possible before we let him go?
Okay. My name is David.
Yeah, do you have a question, David? Thank you. Do you have a question?
My question is, why is the science people not actually trying to recognize and respect the manufacturer of a product? Manufacturer, they always have manuals. So I expected the scientists to always respect the manufacturer of human being, the manual, so that because when you are talking about auto vaccination, this is a natural thing.
You mean the body's ability to defend itself?
Of course.
Oh well, yeah. Okay.
It's a natural thing.
All right,
and
thank you.
And that comes from the person who actually manufactured the human being body.
All right, so we have to let you go. Thank you very much. Dr. Julian, do you want to say something about that? He's practically trying to say that the human body already has a defense mechanism. Why do you introduce a foreign mechanism to the body?
Okay, like I've always said, as much as I believe in science, we all do have our traditional beliefs and our religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a very committed Christian, and I understand that there's a power that controls the world, and that power that controls the world is the power that gave us that idea and concept to actually ward off all the things that we have facing the world as it were today. So I wouldn't say that, I wouldn't come here to try and antagonize him for having his belief. We all believe, I do believe in the supernatural. I do believe that there's a God in heaven. I do believe that there's a God that created the world.
Okay.
I do believe that there's a God that heals.
Okay.
However, the same God that heals is the same God that gave me wisdom and understanding
to treat
and knowledge
people.
To treat people.
All right.
So okay. I'm using that God-given talent
to do that,
as it were, to do what I'm supposed to do.
All right. So I want to take one more, and then I let you go. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Nigeria Info. What's your name?
Thank goodness that I call in. It's Habibu on the line.
What's your question, real quick?
My question, real quick. Joyce, you know, we talk of local standpoint. Our forefathers, they eat natural food. Now, most of these vaccines, these guys produce, I think it's from our environment. So having gotten all these natural things we eat, you know, to boost our immune system, what is the essence of this very vaccine being the effect on our body? And our forefathers and our grandfathers, they never, you know, thought all these ones.
All right.
What they do, they go to the bush and cook most of this thing. Okay. So please listen to us now.
Thank you. So let me see if I can paraphrase. He's suggesting that life of old was better, safer, and healthier. Our forefathers ate natural foods and they lived happily and long. But here we are. He feels that medicine has grown off the backs of natural foods. So how come you're introducing artificial stuff into the human body if medicine really is eat good food, build a healthy immune system, and then you're able to withstand every arrow that can come in form of ill health?
I'll take it like this. I think modernization has done a lot of damage to the world. Okay?
Oh, you're admitting that. You're admitting that modernization has destroyed the world.
Let me tell you.
Thank you very much, by the way.
Let me tell you, Joyce, don't take words out of my mouth. Let me tell you what I mean, okay? What I mean is this, yeah? We have global warming. We have, a change, as it were, in terms of the world as we live in compared to the world they lived in.
Okay,
that's one. Two, there's a telecommunication brand in Nigeria that says data is life. Okay? Yeah. We didn't have enough data then.
Okay.
We didn't have enough data then. I'm trying not to do publicity.
Yeah, no, anymore. I get it. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Go ahead, please. Yeah. Go ahead.
So data is life. For us in science, data is life. The data we have, the number of patients we have treated, I can now come to you and say, in hospital A and B, I have 300 patients that came in because of COVID. 32 of them are within the age range of 5 to 10. 40 of them were within the age range of so and so. Now, from these persons that came to me, I've understand that the disease progression is like this, is like this, is like this.
Yeah.
I have data to prove
that
this is what I have seen. But yesteryears, this amount of data was also not there.
All right.
Okay. Modernization, again, as I said earlier, has actually now helped us to some extent to tell us that, okay, they can do studies in Vietnam, they can do studies in Kuala, where I come from, they can do studies in China, Japan,
Canada, you know, everywhere. But doctor, isn't it ironic?
The world is a global village,
isn't it ironic that this global village with the best modern technology is having a health situation that is worse than it was 50 years ago?
Can you say that again, sorry?
So that with everything that we have at our human disposal to make life easy, better, and maybe even without death, if possible, the health system is worse off today than it was 50 years ago. Maybe not even in Nigeria. I mean, the American documentations prove it. It's on the CDC website.
There are technicalities to that.
But that is regardless of the technicalities. I mean, back in the day, they had nothing, but it's worse off today.
Regardless of the technicalities, yes, I'd agree. Okay, I'd agree. Because the ugu that my grandmother ate is not the same ugu I'm eating.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
In English, spinach, okay?
Absolutely.
It's not the same.
So I'm tempted to...
The tomato I'm eating today is not the tomato my mother ate, because there's modernization in farming, there's fertilization, there's so many other things that have been added.
Yeah.
Okay, to the production of all of these things.
So we're not even better off.
Okay, so it's not really... It's not as simple as it comes. Okay.
I want to thank you for trying to help simplify it. Thank you for the information that you have brought, the education to the day, and I hope that people understand a little bit more. Because I've been asked the question whether I'm going to take the vaccine, and I really not know how to answer that question, and I would hate to make someone else's decision for them. So I can ask you if you're going to take the vaccine, but no, don't give me an answer because I think it would influence somebody.
Directly, I'm going to give it to you directly. I'm actually waiting to be vaccinated.
Eagerly waiting to be vaccinated. Well, yeah. All right.
According to the schedule, I'm supposed to be vaccinated on the 12th.
Exactly, because so you're a frontliner. Some people do not want to be vaccinated. They have their persuasions. And if they have a healthy health, if they're healthy, would you say that they should be unvaccinated?
Personal convictions again. Some persons do not use mobile phones.
So you're really just suggesting everybody go out, they get vaccinated against your convictions.
That's what I'm saying. It's your conviction.
All right, okay.
From the science that I have, I can tell you that I'm not marketing for any of them.
No, I get it. So you would. But if a person feels...
What I'm trying to tell the world, what I'm trying to tell people, is that vaccination has helped.
All right.
And if it has helped, we think that at this moment...
You should take advantage of it.
That's my personal... My personal opinion.
Thank you very much, Julian Ojebo. I do appreciate your being here. It was wonderful.
Thank you so very much.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We're off on a break. We'll be right back.